gospel again, John chapter 16. Jesus knew they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Are you asking one another about what I said? In a little while you will not see me. Again, in a little while you will see me. Truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will become sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her time has come. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the suffering because of the joy that a person has been born into the world. So you also have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy from you." We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen, dear fellow redeemed, a lot of different ways to say goodbye. You probably remember the song from Sound of Music. So long, farewell, auf Wieder, saying goodbye. And if you think about it, there are not only many different ways to say goodbye, but very often attached to those ways to say goodbye is a meaning that we don't normally think about. And those meanings that we can attach to the word goodbye or some form of goodbye can be classified, you might say, into three different categories. First, goodbye can simply mean I'm leaving. Bye, taken off, got to get going, I'm out of here. A second, more common meaning would be, I'm leaving, but I will see you later. See you later. Catch you later. Until we meet again. We see this goodbye expressed in other languages. Arrivederci, until we see each other again. Auf Wiedersehen, which basically means on seeing you again. Hasta luego, see you later. But there's a third way of saying goodbye that also contains a blessing. Goodbye. We don't say bad bye, we say goodbye. Have a good one, take it easy, have a nice day, take care, farewell. Bon voyage, good journey. Peace, shalom, or simply, God bless you. And this one I just figured out a few years ago. Never hit me until a few years ago when I looked at it closely. Adios, to God. In other words, I commend you to God. Same thing with the French adieu. Again, we normally don't think about the meanings that are attached to these different ways we say goodbye, but they are there. Jesus is saying goodbye in our text, but he is clearly saying goodbye in the sense, I'm leaving, but I will see you again. But what do we mean by that later? What does he mean by that later? Well, that later could mean I will see you disciples in a few days after I rise from the dead. It's also been thought that maybe he's saying I will see you when I come to you in the work of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost and word and sacrament. But it can also very clearly mean I will see you face to face when I come to you on the last day in all my glory. But it could mean all three of those. Now, we know from experience that Goodbyes can be very difficult because they are followed by a separation, sometimes a permanent separation. A separation from one we hold very dear, we love, we trust. So think of having to say goodbye to a loved one who's dying or is moving far away or maybe being deployed in a time of war. So there can be mourning and weeping and sorrow. We see a good example of this in Acts 20, where St. Paul is saying goodbye to disciples that he has spent several years with in Ephesus. And there we see that he's telling them goodbye, but he's also telling them what it will mean. He says, "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you. I've declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again," meaning this life. "I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. One of the things that made it more difficult for Jesus' disciples was what they focused on. They were not focused on where he was going and why. They were simply focused on the fact that he would not be with them. And so they saw no advantage in him going. And so what Jesus does here, he seeks to settle them by assuring them that this goodbye of his was in the second sense. "I'm going away, but I will see you again. In a little while, you will no longer see me. Again, in a little while, you will see me." Now, he clearly does not downplay how difficult it would be for them. "You will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will become sorrowful." But then he assures them, "Your sorrow will turn to joy." And then he gives them an illustration to help put things in perspective so they would understand their weeping and mourning would come to an end and in a way that would be really, really, really good. He uses the illustration of a mother in labor. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her time has come. But when she has given birth, she no longer remembers the suffering because of the joy that a person has been born into the world. This is where I should have one of you mothers come up here and do the preaching, for we men cannot relate to your childbirth pain, and we do not want to. And neither can we relate to the joy that follows as you mothers do. We have joy, but for you it's on a different plane, you might say. But again, during this time, this little while, it would not be easy for the disciples. Neither will it be easy for us. The words weep and mourn and sorrowful apply to us just as well during this time when Jesus is not with us, as he will eventually be on the last day when he returns in all his glory. But now there will be weeping and sorrow and mourning. This is a reality. We find Jeremiah in our Old Testament lesson for today from Lamentations. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. We find Jeremiah experiencing the same thing. The Lord had departed from his people. Jeremiah saw massive murders among the Jews, massive destruction within Jerusalem and other parts of Judah, massive deportations of his fellow Jews into captivity. So Jeremiah experienced all this ugly reality, a reality that came upon the Jews because of their apostasy, their unbelief, their immorality, their rejection of God. And so Jeremiah wept as he saw all this. Plus, Jeremiah was harshly persecuted. So the weeping prophet said in our Old Testament lesson, "Then I thought, my future is lost, as well as my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my homelessness, the wormwood and the poison. I continually remember them and have become depressed." So the Apostle Peter, in his epistle lesson for today, picks up on this and applies it to the church of his day and ours. He calls believers on earth strangers and exiles. This is not our home here, people. We are foreigners here. We are away from what is and what will be our real home. We are strangers in a foreign, oppressive land, longing for something much better. This is a reality. Even if it always doesn't seem to be the case. Here on earth, we have many, many joys and almost seem to experience a little paradise from time to time, at least. But there remains something terribly wrong. And that is due to the fact that we are separated from our brother, Jesus Christ. He's there, and we are here. Things are not as they should be. The pain, the weeping, the mourning, the depression, the sorrow, they can all become pretty intense at times. And if you have trouble remembering that something If you have trouble remembering that something is greatly amiss here in this life, here are some reminders that we are separated from Christ for a little while. Here are some reminders. Number one, we look into a mirror and we see, at least eventually, a body will not get better with time. We also look at a mirror that reflects our sin, and we see that sin doesn't quit, and that is painful, for we hate our sin. And also, though there is much in this world to enjoy and find great God-pleasing pleasure in, the world can turn on us in a moment. It has, and it will. If you understand what is going on in our society today, and you are willing to cling to Christ, to remain faithful to your Christian convictions, and confess them when you should, then hold on to your hat. Know your Bible, know the commandments, know exactly what the Bible says sin is. Know that the only solution, the greatest love, is found only in Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Jesus did predict that knowledge will increase, and it has. But he has also predicted that lawlessness would increase and that the love of most would grow cold. He was right. The world is not getting any better. And of course, behind the scenes of all this is Satan, the father of lies, who is directing all these evils and who is promoting murder and destruction and disruption wherever he can. These are all reminders or marks that we Christians are in this little time of separation, this period of labor pains. And what keeps us going, what allows us to confidently put one step in front of the other, is this goodbye of Jesus to which he attaches a promise. In a little while, you will see me. We will see Christ in his full glory, our Lord and Savior, where the weeping and the mourning and the sorrow will be a thing of the past, where there will be only complete joy. But I still want to talk about the third kind of goodbye, the goodbye that also contains a blessing. We don't find this goodbye in our gospel lesson for today, but we do find it many places in the Bible, many places in the New Testament. We find it, for example, in 16 of the epistles of the New Testament. At the end of these epistles, the writers say goodbye with a blessing. Here's the one that you are probably most familiar with that you hear on Sundays. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. The apostle is saying goodbye at the end of the letter, but with a very real and comforting and strengthening blessing. He says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." But there's another place in the New Testament where a goodbye is combined with a blessing. On the same night that Jesus was betrayed, he said to his disciples, "I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Before I suffer and die." He was having a goodbye meal with them. But notice what is attached to this goodbye meal. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Here is a goodbye from Jesus that contains an incomprehensible blessing. He is saying, "I am leaving, but leaving you believers with the ultimate blessing. I am placing myself, my very body and blood that is paying for all your sins, right here in this meal for you to receive and benefit from as you weep, mourn, and sorrow over your sins. As you face the sinful world that presses on you harder and harder. As you are confronted by Satan and his demons." And he's saying, none of these can stand against this blessing. Nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God which is in me. And so again, Jesus is saying, goodbye, I am leaving, but I will see you again. Goodbye. I'm leaving. But I am leaving you with a blessing of grace and peace in word and sacrament. These will sustain and strengthen you until I see you face to face, when I return to take you to be with me, where you will have the perfect and best joy. And no one will take that joy away from you. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.